Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Yes, we're back.
We're still here.
It's not that we forgot about the podcast. I was sick and my voice was pretty much gone for a week.
So how does that work for you? Like, did you just have to basically just work on builds and take the week off from your show?
Yeah, we couldn't shoot at all last week. And I thought, oh my God, if I actually had no voice, like in The Little Mermaid, I couldn't do this job. I'd have to, like, become a mime or something.
Wasn't that what almost happened to Rush Limbaugh, or was that his hearing? I thought he had something like that, where it was like his voice was going, or but then it magically came back.
Oh, I didn't read about
that. Probably because he's rich.
Just like how Magic Johnson cured his AIDS with money.
That's right. The cure to everything, money.
That was another classic South Park episode.
Except for whatever killed Steve Jobs. I guess the cure wasn't money for that.
All the money in the world, and then he died at the age of 50-something in the Twilight Zone. Okay, well, I'm sure we've offended quite a few viewers already. So, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Oscars. Oscar movie, or movie Oscar fever, is gripping the nation, according to websites. And so we thought it'd be a cool time to talk about the history of the Oscars, kind of like the snubs or the alleged snubs that happened, you know, like 20 years later, it's like, oh, that movie shouldn't have won. Also, the Oscar formula, like basically how to make a movie that will win an Oscar. They all kind of follow a pattern. And then the other one was, what was the other topic with Oscars?
Well, there's kind of like the revisionism thing. It wasn't purely Oscars. There was also
Film revisionism.
Yeah, film revisionism. And then there was also, like, for the Oscars specifically, it was how, you know, you might not get an award for the performance you should have gotten it for, but eventually you will. So,
right.
It's kind of like the posthumous Oscar for the performance. So.
Yeah. And also, films that were big hits but have completely disappeared from the public consciousness.
Yes.
Yes. If that's a way to put it. All right, so, which one do you want to start with?
Whatever. We can do the film revisionism one, I guess. We'll start kind of non-Oscar-y.
Okay, Jones, did you know that Return of the Jedi sucked ass?
Really? When did this happen?
I would say around the time the internet began.
Oh, okay.
Probably around 1998, maybe, you know, once Netscape Navigator 2.0 was released.
Well, that's right, because aren't, like, the Ewoks the ultimate evil, the sight of the Gungans or some nonsense? Like, all of a sudden, they're terrible and one of the worst things to ever happen to Star Wars.
You know, maybe that's what happened. You know, people got upset about Jar Jar Binks, who was far from the worst thing in the Star Wars prequels.
Yes. Jar Jar rules. Everybody can suck it.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'd say that. Well, Darth Maul sucks, too. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he just dies.
Yeah, his motivation is he has a red face, which makes him an evil demon. And why is he evil? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's got a double-ended lightsaber. Big deal.
We don't need motivation. That's overrated.
The Emperor was awesome, though.
Well, yeah.
And apparently he's going to be back in the new movies because, of course, why do anything new? Just bring up back every character. You know, that's really because people didn't like the prequels. The prequels at least had different stories and new characters. These movies are going to be super fucking safe, and it's going to suck.
It's so stupid, because it's like, you know, supposedly nobody liked the prequels, yet they printed freaking money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, do whatever. And, you know, for whatever you'll say about the prequels, at least, like, they were a different story, and, you know, maybe it wasn't told particularly well, but, you know, at least an attempt was made to tell something new in the same universe.
And these new movies could suck, too. It's kind of like politics, you know. No matter what happens in an election, like, 90% of the government's the same as it's always been. Same thing with this movie. You know, same people are making the movies.
Yep.
I mean, is it really going to be that much better? I mean, they should be better, but Jesus Christ, Harrison Ford is, like, 70. Mark Hamill, they're all just freaking old.
Well, and what I... Did you hear the shit about, like, the whole thing with the screenwriter, like, Michael Arndt was involved?
And he kind of they ditched his script because they decided to bring the other characters to the forefront?
Yeah, like, he was going to have them be, like, smaller characters, and then they didn't like that. They wanted Luke, Leia, and Han to be, like, the core of the story, and so that was kind of why he got ditched. At least that's the scuttlebutt, and to me, that's, like, the worst news I've heard about the whole new Star Wars movie thing.
Well, the thing is, nobody wants anything new. It's like, oh my God, they're building a full-size Millennium Falcon in Shepherd of the Studios. It's like,
It's like, whoop-de-freaking-do, we've already seen it.
But, you know, people are going to be like, oh my God, there's that thing I remember from my childhood that I like.
Yeah.
I can pay money to see it on a theater screen again. people don't want anything new. Just like in the pinball world, everyone's like Walking Dead or... idea of a new
or
pinball
they want
machine.
Funhouse 2.
Yes, Funhouse 2. Yeah.
It's like, oh, they could put another talking head on a playfield. It's like, yeah, that's
they
been
did
done
that.
A
it's
couple
called
of
road
times.
Show.
Yep. It's like, are they going to put 3 on the playfield?
Oh my God, that would be innovation. They should do Black Knight 3000.
Or maybe one of the heads will be a woman, you know.
It was. The other head was a woman in Roadshow.
Was it?
Yeah, Red was a woman.
Wow, I didn't even know.
Well, she's pretty manly. She was the Jennifer Garner of her time. Oh, who am I not talking about? I'll never score anyone as hot as Jennifer Garner. As we have a picture of Ben Affleck on our screen here.
Yes.
For Argo.
Playing Hans Gruber in Argo.
He looks like friggin' Hans Gruber in that movie. Get me my detonators. Yippee-ki-yay.
Hunt down that little shit.
Hey, and Victor Garber was in Argo, who was in Alias with Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner,
it's all starting to line up.
It makes perfect sense.
And the guy directing Jurassic Park 4 with Chris Pratt directed Safety Net Guaranteed with the girl from Parks and Rec.
From Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Aubrey Plaza, yep.
Well, we figured out all
that movie. It wasn't too bad.
We figured out all the schemes of Hollywood.
Yes. But yeah, so apparently Return of the Jedi is...
Oh yeah, revisionism.
Although, I don't know if it's... I mean, is it revisionism or is it just like you get older and maybe when you hold a movie you loved up to a lens later in life, you start to see its flaws?
Like Rocketeer?
Yeah. That's a good example. I mean, like, for me, Return of the Jedi, I mean, I've loved Star Wars, but it's... Return of the Jedi is pretty weak when I look at it now. I mean...
I haven't actually watched it in a long time.
I mean, like, Lucas screwed everything up with a special edition, of course, because he raped, like, the whole Jabba's palace.
End your childhood.
See, I never say he raped my childhood. I don't take it that far.
Your childhood dress sex scene.
It was asking for it, apparently.
Oh, but, there go another 100 listeners.
But it's like, he put that stupid, you know, song and dance routine that just brings the movie to a screeching halt. Like, I can't really even watch that movie anymore in the special edition form. But yeah, like, the Jabba's Palace stuff was great. And then, like, the end sequence is really awesome, where it's got, like, the cross action going on between, you know, the Death Star battle, Luke and Vader fighting,
oh, yeah.
And then on, you know, Endor, the stuff with Han,
there's
Leia.
A trap.
That stuff's all really great, but, like, everything that happens between that, nothing really happens. It's just, like, dead
there's
for
kind
about
of a
45
wander
minutes.
Around on,
yeah, they wander around on
Endor.
Or the forest moon of Endor, actually.
So Endor is the planet.
Yes.
And so the moon has a forest.
And then...
Well, what's on Endor? Is it?
I think Endor is, like, inhospitable or something. Or
its moon is hospitable.
Yeah, something like
that. That doesn't make any sense. Because it's much more likely that the planet would have an atmosphere because it's more massive.
Yeah, you know, but whatever. It's Star Wars. The, you know, universe where planets have, like, one... climate, you know, it's like we're all ice or we're all sand.
Oh yeah,
you know, so
that's a good point. I never thought about that.
But
maybe there was like an ice world on Tatooine.
I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. If the planet was all one climate, that means most of the planet would be inhospitable.
Yeah,
because it would either be incredibly cold or incredibly hot.
You would think, yes. And then Mustafar is just like all volcanoes going on.
Maybe, which also wouldn't last forever. But maybe. Tatooine is Earth of the far, far future. It's like...
What is this, like, a future Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, great. You just spoiled the ending of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, fuck. If people haven't watched it by now...
I thought that was a cool ending.
That was cool.
You ever wish you could, like, erase your brain and then watch things like Battlestar Galactica over again?
That would be nice. I actually just rewatched that show for whatever reason, and it was... kind of nice, because I hadn't watched it since it ended, basically, and so there was quite a bit of it that I didn't fully remember, but of course I still knew, like, how it ended and stuff, but there were a lot of things along the way where it was like, oh, shit, I forgot about this. You know, this is pretty cool. And
I was driving on Stoughton Road the other day, and I thought, this road looks like the surface of the Battlestar Galactica at the end of season 4.
Yeah, we're...
look at all the ridges.
We need Cylon goo to fix that thing.
Yeah.
Spoiler warning.
Crash Stoughton Road into the side of the Cylon.
That road's awful.
It's terrible. And how are they going to fix it? I think it's time to move.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, this intersection out here? It's like, how would they fix it? Traffic would be completely fucked up.
I wonder how many cars have just been swallowed by that intersection, because there's, like, these massive potholes.
Up by Flom Road, the left lane, you notice, it looks like a car's a lowrider. It's like, woomba, woomba, yep. Woomba. And it's like, if you look, watch the car in front of you, it's like really just humorous to see it. It literally looks like a car with like a suspension system of some kind.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, Rocketeer. Of course, I didn't see that movie in the theater because nobody did. So, I would have been like 15 when I saw that movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was really cool. I'm like, oh, it's got like, you know, Nazis and rockets and Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
God, she was hot in that movie. But
that still rings true. But but the rest of it.
Yeah, because the thing is, really, the Rocketeer doesn't do anything. There's nothing for him to fight in the air.
Yeah.
It's like if that movie would have taken place like in World War II and there were like some Nazis that had jetpacks, it's like, oh, here's something he could fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't really do anything. He flies, he grabs a plane, and then he flies to a blimp.
Yeah.
So the movie's actually pretty boring.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people like think it's a classic now. Like, oh, that was a great movie from our youth, or Jurassic Park. Although I was old enough when I saw Jurassic Park to realize it was pretty tame.
Yeah.
It's like, shoot a dinosaur, for Christ's sakes.
At least they did that in the second one, which was awesome, with Postlethwaite.
Yeah.
Where he was like hunting them.
So. I mean, if I was like 10 years younger and seen that movie as like an 8-year-old or something.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
Yeah. But I was just jaded enough to like, why isn't anyone eating meat in this movie? You notice that they're always eating like Jello and salads and pies.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but.
Oh, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to go fight this raptor. I'm going to load my gun now that I'm out here.
Yeah.
What?
Clever girl.
Yeah, well, anything's clever compared to that idiot. They should all be destroyed. Oh, you ever watch that, How It Should Have Ended on YouTube?
Uh-uh.
They do one for Jurassic Park, and it's got the part where Sam Neill and Laura Dern are trying to hold the door shut, and they're reaching for the gun.
Yeah.
And then she's like, if only there was some character not doing anything who could reach this gun for me. And then it shows, like, the boy sitting next to the girl at the computer, like, doing nothing, just watching her use. Because, you know, every 12-year-old girl in 1993 knew the Unix system.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is pretty much complete horse shit.
So, yeah, movies don't always hold up. But then I think there's movies that time is unfairly cruel to as well, which kind of could lead us into the Oscar snubs.
Yeah, or sometimes time treats movies well as well.
Like
2001 was a movie that, like, when it came out was... I guess it was a mixed bag when it came out. You know, it was like a love it or hate it movie, and maybe that's still true. But I mean,
it did pretty well, actually.
But it's, yeah, I think it was like the top grossing like sci-fi movie, and then like Planet of the Apes came along.
And it didn't win a makeup Oscar because the Academy thought the apes in the beginning were real apes.
Wow.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, now it's considered this classic and all that. And
oh, Blade Runner's another one
Yeah. So, I mean, it can happen.
I mean, I guess a big part of it's marketing, you know. Blade Runner was released in a very sci-fi heavy year. You know, we had, what did you have that year? Other movies, E.T. came out that year, which made all the money, so there was nothing left for Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know, in theory, Blade Runner should have done better. I mean, Harrison Ford had just done Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, and Scott had done Alien.
Yep. Edward James almost was in it.
Yep. Admiral Adama. Oh, spoiler warning.
How's that a spoiler warning?
Because he becomes admiral in the show.
Oh, that's true. He only starts out as a captain.
Yeah.
So you're spoiling the fact that the Cylons decimate the human fleet. So you're spoiling like the first minute of the show.
But he doesn't become admiral for quite a while, actually. Like, I forgot that. Like, he's still Commander Adama for like a long time. Because then there's that part when Admiral Kane shows up.
Oh, yeah.
I love that whole sequence because, like, there's that scene where it's like her, Adama and then Rosalyn, the president, sitting there, and they're talking. And then in the course of the conversation, Rosalyn realizes that Kane's his superior, actually.
Oh.
Which was like a really cool
scene. Is
this
before or after the attempted military coup?
I think it's before it. The coup comes much later. Spoiler warning.
Hey, Mary McDowell was the president's wife in Independence Day.
And what other movie was she in?
Sneakers.
No, what other movie was she in?
Dancing with Wolves.
So we can bring this back.
Yeah.
So yes, my most loathed example of Oscar revisionism is the people that every year there's some schmuck that puts an article online talking about how much of a travesty it is that Dances with Wolves took Best Picture from Goodfellas, like it stole the frickin' Lindbergh baby or something. It's like,
do they complain about Forrest Gump taking Pulp Fiction?
Yes, that gets complained
about. Pulp Fiction
about
would have never been given a Best Picture Oscar in a million years.
No.
Because of the political stuff we'll get to later.
But. Yes, but it's like, these articles, they always make it sound like Dances with Wolves apparently is just some, like, horrible movie. I mean, it's like, Goodfellas is certainly a good film, there's no doubt about it, but it's not like Dances with Wolves is undeserving in any way of winning that award. I mean, it's a great movie.
And Dances with Wolves was like a big kind of Oscar movie.
Yeah.
And when it came out, you know, nobody thought it was going to do anything. They were calling it Kevin's Gate.
Yeah.
You know, it was, even though they made it for $15 million, it was still supposed to be like this huge, you know, like
turkey,
debacle.
Yeah. And then it, like, you know, made massive money. It was like a big phenomenon, and
I still remember seeing that in the theater.
Nice.
Well, something to remember is, you know, Dance with Wolves came out 24 years ago. Jesus Christ, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, don't you hate it when you start putting numbers to things
like
that?
Yeah, when you can like remember doing something like 2 decades ago, that's when you start feeling old.
Like next year, Commando will be like 30 years old, right?
Wasn't oh my
85?
God, yeah, 85.
It's like, oh
how
my
old
God.
Does that make Alyssa Milano?
Yeah, she's probably, what was she? She was probably like 10 or 11 in that, so she's got to be like 40-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting old. Nature of the beast.
And I forgot what we were talking about because I'm getting old. Oh, Dance with Wolves, yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about how it was 24 years ago. Yep.
Well, at the time that came out, you know, that was, first of all, it's not a Western, but I'll just call it a revisionist Western, where it was kind of, you know, told from the Native Americans' point of view.
Yeah.
And there really hadn't been a movie like that before. I mean, nowadays, yeah, we've had, like, you know, 25 more years of that kind of stuff. You know, Avatar yes.
Remade Dances with Wolves, basically.
Yeah, it's the same damn movie. Well, Avatar is really Ferngully.
Yeah.
But it's also very similar to Dances with Wolves. But at the time that came out, you know, first of all, there hadn't really been any Westerns in the 80s, and Silverado and, well, yeah, Heaven's Gate basically killed the entire genre for a good
pretty
decade.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like
Clint squeezed out Pale Rider in there and stuff, but that's because he's Clint, so.
But then, you know, it was I wouldn't say it was like a deconstruction of it, but it was told from a different point of view.
Yeah.
And
it was fairly original, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a new spin on something, at least.
I mean, I guess I'm just being biased because I don't care for gangster movies. But I don't see what's wrong with Dancing with Wolves. It was a good movie. It had a good story. It had a lot of good humor.
Yeah.
And an awesome score by John Barry.
Yep.
And everybody saw it, and it wasn't a bunch of mobsters swearing at each other for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, having your movie get seen is a big part. Well, not for the Oscars anymore, but at least in the past, you know, having a movie that people have seen was a big part of it.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at this list here, I mean, most of these, especially when you go back like before 2000, all of these movies were hits. Well, maybe not English Patient.
Yeah, I don't know. About
Unforgiven.
That,
there's another revisionist Western that won.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Schindler's List did really well. Forrest Gump made tons of money.
Silence of the Lambs was pretty successful.
Really well.
Did you ever Miss Daisy? I'm sure it did okay. Rain Man was a big hit.
Yeah.
What is The Last Emperor? I've never seen that movie.
I've never watched it. It's, what is it, Bernardo Bertolucci or somebody made that one. I don't even know what.
I seem to recall my mom dragging us to Out of Africa because I'm sure she liked Robert Redford.
Yes.
Amadeus I like a lot.
Yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Amadeus is a perfect example of like how to make a movie to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, so was Argo.
Yeah, it's like take a real life event and then, you know, dramatize it and it's a surefire way to win, like, acting Oscars.
You know, the thing that sucks now is, like, now they're giving out Best Actor awards. Most of them are basically for Best Impersonation of a Dead Celebrity.
Yeah.
At least with Mozart, you know, nobody knew what he sounded like or acted like.
Yeah.
And so he was able to kind of create a character. But now it's like, hey, Kate Blanchett, impersonate whoever the fuck you impersonated in The Aviator. Or you are now Margaret Thatcher. It's like, all you have to do is act like that person. You know, there's no creating a character.
Yeah, you can look it up, yeah. I mean, that was the thing that was nice, like, at least with Lincoln, with Daniel Day-Lewis, like, he didn't have, like, recordings to go to, but, you know, he read up on him, and he had readings, and he kind of got an idea of what his voice
did he win
was probably
that?
Like. Yeah, he actually won Best Actor. He's won Best Actor 3 times. I think he's either the only actor to do that, or else it's, like, him and Spencer Tracy are the only ones to win Best Actor 3 times.
Huh.
So... Because, yeah, he won for, what was it, My Left Foot, and then There Will Be Blood, and then Lincoln.
I mean, you know, people always go back to, like, you know, Citizen Kane didn't win or wasn't even nominated, and then what was it, How Green Was My Valley?
Yeah, there were a lot of politics in that, though, I guess, because of William Randolph Hearst. Like, I guess he had this big campaign against that movie.
Oh, yeah, because he was basically the premise of it or inspiration. Yeah.
And it did win, like, screenplay, I guess. Like, that was the only... Oscar at one, but it's but I mean, the thing is, like, you watch that movie now, it's basically like a soap opera. I mean, it's certainly technically impressive for its time. You know, you can see where it broke a lot of new ground. Like, wasn't it the first movie to actually show a ceiling in it? And
yep.
And then it had, you know, like, all these, like, deep focus shots, and, you know, there's certainly technically it's very impressive, but story wise it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he spent at least a third of the movie with him listening to his really whiny, screechy wife. It's like, it's not really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
I like it, but I actually would say I like Metropolis better for old movies.
I still need to watch that.
You haven't seen Metropolis?
I've never seen it.
I really like Metropolis. It's silent, though, but that's all right.
Yeah,
I can read it, turns out.
Can you?
And they've almost found the entire thing now.
Nice.
I think they found, like, some of it in Argentina, which I guess makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's
the boys from Brazil.
You gotta send Magneto down there or whatever happened.
Oh, God, that scene was awesome. In a movie that's far better than what the new X-Men movie will be.
Guaranteed. Ugh. Is this going to be the Wolverine Part 10? Let it go. It sucks so much. Like, these studios that still have the Marvel movies, like Sony and Fox, they're just going to ring the franchises they have dry. Like, they just announced they're going to try to make a Spider-Man movie or spinoff every year.
Oh, my God.
It's like, how many goddamn superhero movies can we put up with?
I'm impressed it's gone this long. You know, we're going on about, what, 15 years?
It's definitely the longest trend ever in Hollywood. I mean, like, usually, like, the crime dramas or the political dramas or the... disaster movies or the Bible
Westerns.
Movies last, like, maybe 10 years.
Because, X-Men basically started it in 2000, yep. And then Spider-Man's the one that really made it explode.
And then The Dark Knight was a huge thing, and Avengers is huge, so shows no sign of stopping. And those movies are easy to translate into other, you know, languages, so that's all they care about anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess we're getting a little off track.
Yeah.
Oh, Gremlins, when they remake it, it's going to suck ass. It's going to be a bunch of, like, CGI things flying around the screen. Ugh. None of them are going to expose themselves to Phoebe Cates.
That is for sure.
Why was she serving them in the bar?
I don't know. That never made any sense. But it was great.
I loved it when the Gremlins were Christmas caroling the theme song to the movie. They just don't make movies like that anymore.
Yeah, it was
They just,
so
like,
awesome.
Take an original idea. Well, Gremlins aren't an original idea, but you take, like, a thing, and then you make a movie about it. It's completely original.
Yeah.
And guess what? It made shit tons more money than a RoboCop remake, Total Recall remake, Footloose remake. None of those remakes make money. Has any of those remakes made any money at all?
Those are the ones I don't understand.
Karate Kid.
It's like, yeah, that one's, yeah, somehow struck a nerve, but it's like, for every one of those, there's, like, another, like, 10 or 15 that are just colossal failures.
Like, why is that considered safe? I mean, because nobody goes to them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we own this property, so let's just make it again. It's like, couldn't you just take, like, a new idea from this mountain of scripts you've got over here and give it, like, $10 million?
Or from all the books that are written, you know?
Yeah, it's... It's not like every movie has to be a, like, $100 million. Because they spent, like, $100 million on that RoboCop remake, I think.
Probably.
It was some absurd amount of money. It's like, Who in their right mind thinks that's a good idea to spend $100 million
Apparently it's doing okay overseas because they probably don't remember RoboCop, but...
Yeah, it's just...
It seems like that movie could have some good themes because the premise is like RoboCop is a way to introduce drones to America.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the kind of shit they do nowadays.
Yeah.
But also sounds like it's got some problems. I'll watch it on video. Like, I watched the Total Recall remake on my iPad.
I mean, to me, yeah, those are... The thing is, like, movies like that, those are ones that it seems like those are classic, like, direct-to-video type movies. It's like, why are these even going into the theaters? But, you know, maybe you hit on it. You know, international audiences, you know, they're more forgiving, I guess, or...
Well, yeah, they'll watch anything on that shows up on the screen. I mean, they're basically, like... I mean, if you think about, like, most developing countries are basically where America was about 100 years ago. You know, like, you know, factories that are kind of bad conditions and
putting
little kids into the ringers. And then you go for cheap entertainment like Nickelodeons and whatnot. And like 100 years ago, like every movie, well, 100 years ago is a little too far back. People just go to the movies all the time because they didn't have, they had radio and that was about
it. Yeah, so. No TV.
No interwebs.
Didn't have Netflix right there, you know, so.
So yeah, you went to the movies and, you know, developing countries, they don't have all these big TVs and smartphones and internet like us, but they can go to the movie theater.
Yeah, that's true. So
what were we talking about?
I don't know. We got sidetracked pretty significantly.
So I would say Jennifer Lawrence hasn't quite caught Connelly a Titus yet, thankfully.
She has been skinning down a little bit, it seems like, though. She definitely needs somebody to give her some sandwiches.
So,
like she's with, what is it, his name, Beast. Like, he plays Beast in the X-Men movies now. She dates that dude. It's like, dude, give her some sandwiches. Keep her fed. So hopefully
right.
The trend continues.
Connelly Titus is when you're a successful actress and your weight decreases exponentially from there. Angelina Jolie is another good example.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she looks like a skeleton.
Yeah, it's just creepy.
Yeah. It's like she made that Disney movie and they didn't even have to put any makeup on her chin or her cheeks. She already looks pretty
sullen.
Looks
gaunt. Yeah.
It's like, you have enough money. Well, she has like 10 kids. Maybe they eat her out of house and home.
That could be. Maybe she like, you know, obviously she makes dinner for the family. So,
you know, wow.
So she like.
Hey, Brad Pitt made eggs in World War Z.
Oh, yeah.
There was a scene where
right.
he made some eggs.
That movie wasn't too bad.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I hope they make a spinoff with that one-armed Israeli soldier chick.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she just lost her hand. So.
Spoiler warning.
Yes.
See, that's worse than me spoiling Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because that's actually a plot point.
And it came out recently.
Brad Pitt and his collection of scarves saves the world from zombies by observing things.
See, that's one thing. What is the statute of limitation on spoilers? You know, like can you go around and say, you know, so-and-so was blank in Sixth Sense now? You know, I mean, it's been like 15 years, for Christ's
sakes.
Oh,
yeah,
you know?
I think so.
So
I think once a premise has kind of entered the social conscious, then it's fair game, your favorite movie.
So, like, with that movie, you could have, like, said it probably a year after it came out, because everybody pretty much knew...
Oh, yeah, what's with these movies that are huge at the time, but then people forget about?
Sixth Sense is a good example of that, actually. Because, it's, nobody talks about it anymore, but God, that thing was huge when it came out.
Yeah, but, you know, the movie that really influenced everything that year was Matrix.
Yeah.
Because then we were in a post-Matrix world, and now I think we just got out of the post-Dark Knight world, now we're in the post-Avengers world. So basically a movie comes along and affects all movies made after, like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We had all those like shiny bug disaster movies in the 90s.
Yeah, and then like Matrix, every movie had to have bullet time after
leather.
That. And, yeah.
I wouldn't wear nothing but skin-tight leather!
And then Dark Knight, everything had to be like thematically dark, I guess, after that.
I have no reservations about shooting the driver of this car.
And he did buckle his seatbelt before doing that.
Oh, that's good.
Which is important.
I mean, he already lost half his face. What does he care? Cancer chef. But Ghost is another one. That movie was huge. Nobody cares. It was all right. The premise was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it wasn't
bad. That'll probably get remade, too.
See, that's one where, it was huge, but... You could actually see it making sense to remake it, I guess. Just because it's not like some beloved movie or whatever. Like there's shit where, like, when they remake Manchurian Candidate, it's like, why the fuck would you remake Manchurian Candidate? It's like this classic film. There's basically nothing wrong with it. You are not going to improve upon it. Why bother?
Oh, Ken Levine is still attached to write a Logan's Run remake.
Really?
I guess he'll have more time now since...
Yeah, since he's he's doing.
Irrational shutdown or something.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Well, isn't it just being pruned? Like, isn't he taking, like, 15 people and they're going to make, you know, whatever games?
Cell phone games or something?
Yeah, some garbage.
It's like, so. you can take the press release and put it into the media spin translator, and it comes out. It's like, my 15 best buds and I are going to make cell phone games because we spent too long making Bioshock Infinite. I like Bioshock Infinite, but they just spent too long on that one game. It's
Wasn't it originally supposed to come out like 2 years before it actually did? I mean, it got delayed a lot.
And it sounds like it went through a lot of changes at the last minute, too. Like, everything you saw, like, in the E3 trailers, none of that happened in the game.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the game was originally a lot more political or a lot more...
Yeah, they probably neutered
it. And they neutered it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, like, you know, public executions and stuff. And if you look... If you go on YouTube and look at, like... even like in E3 2011, like Comstock was a completely different looking character. He was like kind of like a young, not a young man, but like certainly not an old geezer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like they changed it a lot during production. I guess I went off topic. Anyway, Logan's Run, it's a movie that nobody really remembers, but the premise, you could so easily make that into a modern day premise. It's like, think about in the world today, like
unemployment, overpopulation, right?
Medicare, Social Security, health insurance. If people died at a certain age, a ton of those problems would be solved.
Yep.
It's like, hey, we should try this. And then you try something, and then, okay, how does that idea go wrong? That's your movie. It's like you take a sci-fi concept, and you explore how it goes wrong, boom. And that would actually, of all the things
and
they could remake...
Fits, yeah.
Yeah, it actually, because you could say in the future, it's like, okay, this happened, and then unemployment went to 20%, and we couldn't feed the elderly, and like, oh, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
So then we did this. Logan's Run. And of course, he'd be 40 now, you know, so Mark Wahlberg could be the guy, because he's in every goddamn movie.
See, that's the problem, though. That movie is too topical. Like, it's too relevant, I guess, would be the way to look at it, that it probably won't get made. Because it's too close to, you know, the truth, essentially.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like, yeah, like Robin Hood's another one I kind of thought of.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like
that movie made a ton of money.
And we're not talking about, the Russell Crowe bullshit one,
that one
a few
count.
Years ago. It's like, this is the real one with Costner in it.
And
with his terrible
and
accent.
Hans Gruber, who is Argo. He is Argo.
And Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who used to be somebody and then disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Much like this movie, but Robin Hood
and
was
Sean Connery
huge when it came
and
out.
And Morgan Freeman was in it too.
Yeah. But that movie is huge. Like, everybody knew about it. Everybody saw it. And like nowadays, I mean, you know, people like us still remember it, but in the, you know, subconscious of like the public or whatever, it's forgotten.
You know, I probably watched it when it came on video. And never since. So I probably haven't seen that movie in 22 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't really care for it a whole lot, to be honest.
It was just so much fun.
I mean,
it's not a great movie. I'm certainly not saying that. But
what was it? I'll cut your heart out with a spoon.
Why a spoon?
Because it hurt more.
Why not an axe?
But then, you know, we have...
Because it's dull, you twit.
You have the opposite effect, where a movie comes out, no one gives a shit, like Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And then as time goes on, it's like, it gains this cult following.
Yeah, and Office Space is like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies
like that. But hopefully not... What was that? Idiocracy.
Oh, horrible movie. There's a reason why that thing got... yanked away from Judge and put on the shelf or whatever the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't understand why people think that movie's good.
Oh, shit.
The premise is interesting, but it doesn't make any sense. And it's just
poorly executed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. There's good ideas. Like, John Carpenter movies, basically, almost every one of them is a good idea, but it's poorly executed. Like,
The Thing
is really good, but... And actually, Escape from New York, sorry, but most of his other movies
Russell Crowe pours whiskey on a computer. I mean, that's awesome.
The Thing?
The Thing.
You mean Kurt Russell.
Oh, who did I say, Russell Crowe?
Yeah, I guess it's Russell, so it's cool.
Russell Crowe.
I was like, Russell Crowe?
Hey, Russell Crowe
shit.
Was in Gladiator, which won Best Picture for some reason.
Yes. because it was an epic, you know, it was a throwback type movie. And actually, Gladiator was an influence, because remember after that, like, Troy and Kingdom of Heaven, like, tried to, like, resurrect the old epics, and, you know, it didn't really take off, but there was a sudden, you know, influx of those movies.
Yeah, because Gladiator was a pretty big hit, and nobody cared about Ridley Scott for a long time until he made Gladiator.
Yeah, that basically resurrected his career, because then he got to do Hannibal and, you know,
yeah, Black Hawk Down
and Kingdom of Heaven, actually.
And
he did that,
Prometheus.
Talk about disappointing films.
But it had your favorite person, Charlize Theron, in it.
It did, but she apparently doesn't know how to turn left.
Hey, are you going to go see A Million Ways to Die in the West? It's a Western,
it's
and Charlize Theron, isn't it?
Which I'm not sure
but
about.
Liam Neeson's in it.
That's one where, like, the cast, I'll go. Like, I'm a big cast person.
I would totally see that movie. And it's got Doogie Howser in it.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Or Barney Stinson. Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, she, like, plays a prostitute. I didn't see Ted, and I never will, because I don't give a shit. But I would see this Western movie.
It was okay, but it wasn't that funny.
Most
it was actually kind of sad in a lot of spots. It kind of reminded me of Shallow Hal in that way. Like, Shallow Hal, you actually, like, empathized with the character so much that a lot of the situations that were apparently supposed to be funny really weren't. Like, it worked better as drama than it did as comedy, really. I mean, Shallow Hal is actually a good movie, but...
We should briefly talk about filmmakers that were shocked haven't crawled back to the franchises that made them famous. So we have Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yes.
Which is being made 20 years later for some reason.
Because Jim Carrey has nothing else to do, I guess.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Broken Lizard hasn't crawled back to Super Troopers.
Yeah, because what are they even doing now?
I think studios finally stopped giving them money, but you'd think they would still want money, so Super Duper Troopers?
Yeah.
That's a funny name.
I know Chandra Sekhar, like the...
Yeah.
The one dude, he directs quite a bit of stuff. Like, I see him pop up, like, he directs TV shows, like, episodes and stuff quite a bit. And he's directed some other movies. So he seems to be, you know, finding work. But, yeah, like, the rest of the guys, I don't really know what they're up to.
It's always weird when you're watching a TV show and then you're like, oh, like, Rennie Harlan or or
Chandra Sekhar.
There you go.
Well, that's what was kind of cool on House of Cards when you watch... the first couple of episodes of that, because it's like David Fincher directed them.
Oh.
And because he, like, produced the show and all that.
And he directed Seven, which had Kevin Spacey in it.
Yes.
Totally win at 7 degrees of Seven, Kevin Bacon. 7 degrees of Seven Bacon.
It is.
I don't think I've seen... No, have I seen the movie Seven? I know how it ends. Spoiler warning. No.
See, that sucks that you know how it ends.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew how it ended when I saw it. That was one of those movies where, like... being a big film geek, everybody, like, assumed I had seen it, but I hadn't for a long time. Like, I think I first saw that maybe, like, 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, but that was one of those movies where everybody was like, oh my god, it's so amazing, it's so amazing. Like, that and Usual Suspects. And I watched Usual Suspects, and I'm like, really? That's it? So, like, when I went to watch Seven, I kind of assumed the same thing was gonna happen, but when I saw that, I'm like, this is a fucking good movie. It's like, holy shit. Like, it's really awesome.
Yeah, I like David Fincher movies. I haven't seen them all.
He's a hell of a director. Like, he's got, like, the geeky following, but he doesn't seem to get a lot of respect mainstream. Like, he briefly did with, like, you know, Social Network getting up there and stuff, but it's like Zodiac got completely ignored. That's a hell of a movie.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the early RDJ comeback movies.
Yeah, it's really damn good. You know, but, like, he did that. And, like, his Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie was just really well done. And Fight Club's, like, the movie people love of his the most. It's the one I like the least.
Oh, there's another movie that no one cared about when it came out, but now it's, like, a classic, I guess.
Or actually Benjamin Button. I think I like that one the least.
If you think about Fight Club and American Beauty, they both came out the same year. They're basically the same movie, but, like, without 20 years age difference. Or they're both about, like, you know.
Thematically, they're the same.
Demasculated men trying to, like, reclaim things through different ways, either through fighting or just...
Or just kind of tearing down your life, essentially.
Menu Savari.
Yeah, what happened to her?
I don't know.
They stopped making American Pie movies.
Well, we all know what happened to Thor Birch. She made Dungeons and Dragons.
God, I saw her name on something the other day, and I'm like, holy shit, I haven't seen her name in like 10 years.
Your Majesty. Yes, now the dragons will be under my control.
I have it on Blu-ray now.
Nice.
I found it on Blu-ray and I bought it.
Good.
It has a second one too, so blech.
That's like, well, yeah, you just don't even need to use that. That's a coaster. But
anyway,
yeah. So we won't even segue, but we could just move back into we could talk about the eventual Oscars that people get.
Oh yeah,
that phenomenon.
So what happens is if they can't give you an Oscar in a certain year, but they really want to, you'll get it the next year or soon thereafter for not necessarily a best role, but just because you're owed an Oscar.
It's like an Academy IOU.
Yeah, like The Departed from Martin Scorsese is a very good example of this.
Yeah.
But the best example is the cascade effect from, what was it, Training Day and Monster? Was that it?
Yeah, because it was Monster's Ball and Training Day. So it was Denzel Washington won Best Actor for Training Day. I can't remember who he screwed. And then, actually, I thought he was really good that year. But, yeah, like Halle Berry won Best Actress for Monster's Ball.
Because it was probably politically motivated. Like, hey, we can give it to two African-Americans in the same year. Let's do it.
Yep.
Even though Nicole Kidman, you know, everyone thought she'd get it for Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
And she did a really good job. But, yeah, sometimes they're like, oh, we have to do this. Or Kathryn Bigelow for Hurt Locker. It's like,
yes.
Oh, yeah. we have, no matter what, we can give an Oscar to the first female director.
Yeah, because it's like, now's our chance. We don't know when we're going to get to do it again.
Because there's so few female directors.
Yeah.
And so, like, sometimes when they do that, it kind of screws over other things and, like, messes it all up. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. So what happened with the, I didn't see Training Day or Monster's Ball, but you could tell that happened because then, like, a year later, Nicole Kidman made The Hours, which is a movie where she does nothing.
Yeah, except wears a prosthetic nose.
Which is true, because, like, so, yeah, deformation,
that helps
extreme
too.
Weight loss or gain also will get you an Oscar. But she basically sucked in it, but she was given an Oscar.
Yeah, and she's not in it that much either.
No, like, she's like a supporting character.
It was kind of similar to Hopkins winning Best Actor for Silence of the Lambs. Like, I mean, he was great in it, but if you look at how much screen time he had, it was a very small chunk of screen time, actually, so it was kind of similar.
So then what happened? They gave the Oscar to Nicole Kidman that year, so they couldn't give it to Renee Zellweger for Chicago, which she deserved. So next year she made Cold Mountain, which she was barely in, but guess what? She got an Oscar because she was owed one.
At least it was Best Supporting Actress that time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But still, she got, you know, an Oscar.
Because if you think about, like, Renee Zellweger in Chicago was far better than Nicole Kidman in The Hours.
It's not even close.
But this cascade is like, so it's like, well, yeah, we're sorry we couldn't give you the Oscar, but now we'll give it to you 2 years later. That's lame.
And then it was just like,
and then Halle Berry made Catwoman. Which is a pretty awesome bad movie.
Yeah, it is. It's got a cat breathing life into her. literally.
Yes.
There's like an orb of light that leaves her body.
I thought it was like dust that came out of the cat's mouth.
Was it?
So if you haven't seen Catwoman, so Catwoman was, she won an Oscar, so Halle Berry had to proceed to make a bunch of terrible big paycheck movies. Which Jennifer Lawrence hasn't done yet.
Yeah, she just makes big paycheck movies that make shitloads of money.
Yeah, so she's ahead of Angelina Jolie,
Charlize did like Aeon Flux and crap like that.
And Halle Berry struck a Tobin lightning. what was I talking about, Catwoman? Oh yeah, Catwoman. So she plays like this graphic artist or something, and she can't get a date even though she looks like Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And
wasn't she all like frumpy in it though?
She's
wearing glasses
up.
And her hair is kind of natty and crampy.
Because obviously she turns completely ugly if she puts her hair up.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, so it basically steals a plot from Batman Animated Series. So she gets killed for finding this secret formula at a cosmetics lab. And she's laying dead on the side of the river. And there's all these cats around her because she's Catwoman, you know. But then one horribly obviously CGI cat walks amidst the other cat, standing out like a sore thumb, and stands on her chest. And then you have, like, dead Halle Berry's point of view, and, like, this cat filling the entire street, and the cat's like, it opens its mouth, and this green mist comes out. And so it's literally breathing magical life back into Halle Berry, who
That's
then awakens as Catwoman.
It's spoiler warning.
That was a pretty good bad movie.
Yeah, it was. Another example of this crap would be, like, in 99, Kevin Spacey, well, it would have been the 2000 Oscars, but Kevin Spacey wins Best Actor for American Beauty, stealing it from Russell Crowe for The Insider, which anybody who's seen both those movies, if they can legitimately make an argument to me that Kevin Spacey's better, I'd love to hear it, because Crowe's, like, amazing in that movie. And it actually kind of broke the put on weight and, you know, whatever formula, because he, like, put on a bunch of weight and he looks all, like,
and he didn't disheveled win.
And he didn't win.
Oh.
So it was kind of amazing. Maybe they're trying to buck the trend. But he was great in that. But then because of that, then what was it? He didn't, I'm trying to remember what he won for. He won for
Gladiator,
A Beautiful Mind,
didn't he?
Or did he win for Gladiator?
Which one was it? Did he win for Beautiful Mind is the one where they gave Jennifer Connelly an Oscar for Requiem for a Dream.
Yes, yes.
Because Because
all she does is breaks a mirror and screams at it.
She's not even a character.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yes, that's another example where it's like, you know, they couldn't give it to her for Requiem.
Who did they have to give it to in 99?
In 99, who would have won Best Actress in 99?
Oh, wait, didn't Ellen Burstyn win it?
Oh, that was the year Hilary Swank won for Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, Didn't Ellen Burstyn win an Oscar for Requiem for a Dream?
No, she did not. She should have. She got freaking robbed. I can't remember who. Oh, fucking Julia Roberts, because that was their chance to actually give her an Oscar.
Oh, for portraying a person who already exists.
Yes,
Erin Brockovich.
But yeah, so she stole Ellen Burstyn's award, and then Ellen Burstyn's never had a chance to win it again, really, since. But
you know, someone on the website mentioned that Jonah Hill has been nominated for Oscars more than Gary Oldman.
That's probably true because, yeah, he got nominated for Moneyball and now for Wolf of Wall Street. And what did Oldman ever get? Oldman had to have gotten nominated at some point.
Oh, but Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that was a big deal because, yeah, they said, yeah, it was his first time being nominated and it was just absurd.
Ridiculous.
It's like, how is that even possible?
Well, he'll get one eventually. Like, he'll make a movie when he's like 99 and it'll just be him eating crackers and playing chess and he'll win an Oscar for it because it'll be the, oh shit, we forgot to give you an Oscar, Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess the point we're trying to make is
you don't always get awarded for the performance you should have been awarded.
Right, because, you know, they're like, oh, we have to, you know, give this award for this reason, and therefore it mucks up other things.
Yeah, because, yeah, I don't remember what was up against The Departed that year, but
I didn't care for that movie that much.
It's one that I actually enjoy. I've watched it a few times now. I seem to like it better each time I see it. It is a fun movie to watch.
The ending of it was like a Family Guy episode where they keep shooting each other.
I love Wahlberg in it, though, because he's just such a surly prick, and then he caps fucking Damon at the end. That was awesome. Spoiler warning! Yeah, we're on, like, 8 years since that movie came out, so whatever.
Yeah, Million Dollar Baby, she dies in the end. Return of the King returns. Chicago takes place in Chicago. So, Chicago is a movie I really like, and what movie did that rob horribly, according to critics 10 years
later? Oh, The Pianist, I guess?
The Pianist. That was one of the
Because it's
Brody,
Holocaust,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. Is like if you make a movie that involves the Holocaust in any way, you will win an Oscar.
Yep. See Adrian Brody, see Kate Winslet for The Reader.
Wasn't The Reader like a big stink? Like, it's not supposed to be even that good of a movie, but
it's not.
It was nominated because of its subject matter.
Yeah, because I think like on Rotten Tomatoes it had like a 50-some percent rating or maybe right around 60. I mean, it was not good.
Well, if you look at Argo is Hollywood saving people from Iranians. It's like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look how important we are. Yes, we need to...
It's a really good movie, but, you know, it's like it was a shoe-in for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
Or The Artist, it's like, oh, we made a silent black-and-white movie for no reason. It's not that good of a movie. Well, okay, spoiler warning, I have an animus against that movie because I watched it on an airplane. Like, I've seen most of these Best Picture movies on airplanes. Like, I rent them out of, like, I guess I need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I watch a lot of them on airplanes, and that was one where I left my noise-canceling headphones in the back of the seat.
Okay.
But they weren't my good ones, but they still cost, like, $45.
Well, it's a silent movie. What do you need headphones for?
That's a good point. Oh, my God! I never even put that irony together. You're right. And that's irony, not coincidence.
Yes. So.
Oh, I was watching something last night. I was like working late here, and it was like El Dorado Raft of Gold or something on Netflix. Because you watch one stinking, you know, Mysteries of the Ancients on History Channel, and then Netflix is like, oh, here's 10,000 other ones.
Yep. Have fun. And the guy's
like, this tribe of natives used all their gold for religious purposes. And then ironically, the Spaniards used it to decorate their church. And I'm like, oh. And like, is that? I wasn't quite sure if it was irony or coincidence, because what do you think?
Maybe. Seems more coincidental.
It's hard to say, though.
It could go either way.
It really annoys me how often irony is used instead of coincidence when it's coincidence. Like, Paul Walker dying in a car crash is not ironic.
Yeah.
It is a coincidence.
It's a coincidence, yep.
Ugh.
Oh, and I got a bitch about this because I have a chance. So, Philip Seymour Hoffman died, right?
Oh, yeah.
From heroin overdose.
Which, we better do an autopsy to figure out the cause of death.
Yeah, it's like there's a needle dangling out of his arm. I don't think it's a reach, but it's like, that sucked. He was incredibly talented. He was a great actor and stuff, and, you know, he left behind his kids and all this stuff. Paul Walker, but there were a lot of people online that were like, well, fuck that guy. He threw his life away. He made bad choices, you know, whatever. But Paul Walker dies. He threw his life away, too, in that car crash. Granted, he wasn't driving, but it was his friend. It sounds like they did this sort of shit all the time. So he threw his life away carelessly. My God, the outpouring of sentiment. You would have thought, like, Paul Walker was the savior of the goddamn universe.
Well, he truly was an actor no one cared about. He was, like, basically a joke until he died.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
just like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, like, he was, like, the butt of a joke for, like, decades. But when he died...
Yeah, all that's forgotten.
Yeah.
And
I like Michael Jackson. I think it sucks that he died, and I think he got a lot of shit. But in the public eye, it's like, oh, my God, you know, now we love him. It's like, how it could turn. But I mean, Paul Walker dying, I guess it was kind of tragic.
I mean, it was tragic, but, I mean, to me, like, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman dying alone with a needle in his arm, that's fairly tragic as well.
Yeah, but he's not as young as or good-looking like Paul Walker.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
But he's way more
talented.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this is why, you know, the difference between stories, you know.
Yeah,
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if it was Paul Walker with a needle dangling out of his arm and it was Philip Seymour Hoffman that died in a car crash, it'd be interesting to see how those stories would have been reported.
This is a very macabre discussion. Did
that
someone else
die
recently? Like,
well, Harold Ramis just died.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
So, yeah.
And they'll still make Ghostbusters 3, unfortunately.
Ugh.
See, that, you know, the thing is, like, Ghostbusters, they would never make a movie like that now. It was a completely original idea, and it was like the biggest, you know, it was a really expensive movie too.
Yeah.
But they would never do that because they're like, what's a Ghostbuster? No one's heard of a Ghostbuster. Is it based off a comic?
Yeah.
Is there a book? I don't know if people understand what ghosts are. You know, there'd be all these reasons a movie like that would not be made
why
today.
Not to do it?
Yeah. I mean, now they're desperate to make a sequel or whatever to it, but why not just come up with a new creative idea like that? Like, even Men in Black, you know, which is basically Ghostbusters with aliens.
Yeah.
Still.
But it's a twist on it, at least.
And it was based off a comic nobody read, but it was really successful.
Yeah. But it's like, instead, let's, you know, make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again. And, you know, let's make, I guess, two sequels to Indiana Jones or two more sequels to Indiana Jones with Old Man running around.
I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
The original one?
Oh, yeah. Of course. How can you go wrong?
You know, I was thinking about something the other day. This is, well, I guess it's kind of on topic. Like, the Transformers movies, you know, people complain about, like, the stereotype characters in it, which is pretty blatant in that movie. And they complain about it. It's like, yeah, that's pretty lame. But then if you think back...
Like, the cars with the gold teeth and stuff?
Yeah, it's like, I thought that was a good idea. But if you think back to, like, 80s movies... Like, that were for kids. Like, Weird Science had nudity in it. Goonies, they talk about sex dungeons. There was a lot of inappropriate stuff in those movies as well.
And yet, we're still here.
Yeah, yeah.
We somehow survived.
Yeah, I'm not condoning putting that in movies, but they did it in the past. There's some other movie. I can't remember what it was, but... Yeah. Movies that we watched as kids are... Yeah.
other stuff. I mean, like Robin Hood's even got some of that. Like basically, he's gonna like rape Maid Marian.
You know, oh yeah.
But he's making it official by marrying her as he's getting ready to.
Oh yeah,
mount
he's basically
her,
getting
know?
Married on top of her.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, because he's like, I will not have her until we are properly wed.
Oh, it's good to know he's nice and religious.
His heart's in the right place.
He's like, we have to wait till we're married, Maid Marian. yeah.
But yeah, there was like lots of stuff like that back then, you know.
Granted, there weren't any robots with gold teeth.
Yeah. I guess we're the worse off for it. But,
Oh, you know, everyone's going to forgive that damn part four when there's a fucking Dinobot in it. It's like, oh, there's a Dinobot in it. I forgive everything. I know you like those movies, but. Actually, the second half of part three was pretty good. The first half of it was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I like's probably even a strong word. I mean, I don't mind those movies, but yeah, like the last half of the third one's really awesome. It's just like pure action and just tons of money on the screen.
It's like, why
it's
not
awesome.
Just make that? Why have Shia LaBeouf going to 50 job interviews? Who cares? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like anybody who was really a Transformers fan, you know, like they would have grown up and they would have seen the Transformers animated movie and they would have known the worst part of that movie was the goddamn human characters that are in it, you know. But then, of course, they can't go and make a $200 million movie nowadays without like some humans in it.
Yeah, I mean, you could see that with Pacific Rim. It's like the middle of that movie, nothing happens. And I know everyone thinks that's the greatest movie ever, but it's not.
It's not good.
But, you know, in that case, it's like, you know, that's, they just have humans talking for the middle hour to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then they spend so much on these movies anyway, like, why not just remove that stuff? Like, the new Godzilla trailer, it's like, oh God, it's like, more soldiers with little machine guns walking through the woods, and what the hell are they gonna do to Godzilla? Or like, what is, I don't know who the guy's name is, what is he gonna do to a Transformer? It's, you know, why even have these people on screen?
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's like, oh, we dropped a nuclear bomb on Godzilla, but let's have some people with M16s go fight him.
Well, like Pacific Rim, think how many millions they could have saved just by not having like every scene shrouded in rain and darkness and
in the water. That's expensive.
Yeah, it's just like, my God. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. Like, I watched that movie, I didn't care for it, but I'm like, I can see where all the money is in this movie. There's no doubt about that. The budget's on the screen, but.
That was clearly, you know, Guillermo del Toro, for some reason, couldn't make a Godzilla movie, so he made Pacific Rim.
Yeah, yeah.
We probably lost every listener by now, so we're talking into a vacuum.
So from this last year, though, so the Oscars are, like, this weekend for those who
and
care.
And I will, like, post this by then.
And so, you know, of course, like, the front runners are, like, you know, 12 Years a Slave, and which I haven't seen. And so maybe it's a perfectly good movie, but it seems like a very much an Oscar bait type movie. You know, it deals with like a historical thing. It's, you know, got like social relevance or whatever, you know, so it'll probably win, but it's like that. And then there's like Gravity, which is kind of like the big crowd pleaser.
Gravity will win Best Director.
Yeah, it will.
Definitely.
Deservedly so.
But what they'll do is, which they didn't used to do, but they do a lot now, is they'll split the baby.
Yeah,
you know, they'll give Best Picture to 12 Years a Slave, but then they'll give Gravity Best Director.
Yep. Yeah, which, yeah, it used to be basically if you won Best Director, you got Best Picture, too, but that's really changed in the last decade.
I don't know if... I didn't see that many movies this year. I mean, I really like Gravity, but I don't know if it's really Best Picture material. I mean, have I been brainwashed that much by Oscars that I think a movie has to be about the Civil War or Vietnam or World War II? Or why is it always goddamn wars? Is there anything else they could make a movie about? Like, how about a drunken composer? Nah, we wouldn't want to see that.
I mean, for me, with Gravity, like, it's not your traditional, you know, Best Picture type movie. But the thing is, it's like, it, you know, not that this is everything, but it's like, it made a lot of money. It was the movie from last year where, like, just everybody seemed to be aware of it. Like, people I worked with who normally don't go to movies or talk about them, like, they knew about it, and they knew they had to see that movie in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, an experience. Like, when I watched that movie, it did that rare thing that few movies do, where, like, when you see
it... It was short.
Well, it was short, but it kind of made you forget yourself. Like, it's so... I don't know, absorbing, because I think a big part of it is, like, the way they chose to film it. You know, like, the first shot in the movie is, like, what, 17 minutes long? You know, so you don't get all the cuts to keep reminding you, like, yeah, I'm watching a movie. And especially when you're seeing it on this huge screen, it's like you've never seen space depicted like it is in that movie. And it just, I don't know, it just has some sort of effect. And, like, the score, just, it's the perfect score in that it's only there when it needs to be. And I don't know, it's just one of those where, like, everything kind of comes together very well, and it's like, yeah, maybe the core story isn't anything, like, mind-blowing, but it's like the overall experience of that movie is, like, what going to the movies is about. It's just, it's like, it's one of those movies where, you know, you hear people say, it's like, yeah, you got to see it in the theater. It's like, yes, that movie, absolute must-see in the theater. And, you know,
so you're saying the best picture should be, like, best kind of like movie making, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not really what the movie's about, but like, well, like Titanic is a good example. Like, a lot of people think it's cheesy and whatnot, but Titanic was damn good movie making.
Yes.
It was the best picture made that year.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I know that sounds awful, but like, LA Noir, it's like, oh, you put some cars out there and you give Kim Basinger a new hairdo.
Yeah.
It's like, Titanic was, it was, on top of being a good movie, you know, it was a, I'm sure they had a hell of a time making it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that, you know, I think, yeah, there's something to be said for that. Like, accomplishing something that hasn't been done.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's the thing you watch, yeah, Gravity, and it's like, I've never seen that before, you know? Like, I mean, you know, to me it was like akin to what it must have been like to see something like 2001 A Space Odyssey in the theater when it came out, because it was like that much of a leap in terms of like what space
looked like. It won't stand the test of time like 2001.
No, I don't think it will either, and, you know, maybe that's something to say about it, although I don't think people are going to be talking about 12 Years a Slave, you know, 10 years from now.
Or either. American Hustle or any of these movies.
Yeah, you know, but...
it's weird, like, what movies will people talk about in the future? Like, you never know, like, Big Lebowski, for instance, you would have never guessed, because that came and went in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, nobody cared about it when it came out, because nobody got it when it came out, I don't think.
And... But then Something About Mary was a huge hit that same year, and nobody talked about that movie anymore.
Yep, yeah. It's but yeah, I don't know. It's
the dude abides. They should just make Sam Elliott Pinball.
That'd be a good time. Yeah, then you could incorporate Lebowski and Roadhouse into it,
and Tombstone.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I wish I had enough time to make that Roadhouse game. I really want to make a Roadhouse pinball machine using my cocktail game over there.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, Roadhouse Pinball. You thought it'd be bigger,
but yeah, it's like. Yeah, I don't know, it's always hard to put your finger on what the best picture is, but it's like, for me, it's, I don't know, like, Gravity was just like that rare movie that, you know, kind of became something more, I guess. And
what about American Hustle that has like 50,000 actor nominees in it?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. Like, if you talk about, like, the best acted movie of the year, like, I would say that was it.
Like, I think Christian Bale's a shot. Because he's, like, fat and kind of, like, ugly and had a comb over.
Yeah, like, to me, he's, like, the most underrated part of that movie because, like, he's not nominated for anything. Nobody's talking about him. I thought he was, like, great in it. I really liked
him. Yeah, he was, like, the heart of the movie.
Funny, and, yeah, it's basically, yeah, about him.
I mean, like, Jennifer
Lawrence
almost like Connelly. I mean, she basically does an impression of, like a Jersey housewife.
And, yeah.
I mean, I don't see what's so great about that.
Yeah, I mean, and I love Amy Adams and stuff, but I mean, I've seen her better in other movies.
Okay, so let's try to calculate this. So, Amy Adams has never won an Oscar. Cate Blanchett has, I assume.
Yeah, but she's going to win.
So they won't give Amy Adams a sympathy Oscar?
No.
Oh, but Cate Blanchett's
too young. Well, actually, the thing
she's
is,
not
Amy
that
Adams,
young.
Yeah, she's like pushing 40.
She's older than me. But Cate Blanchett was in a Woody Allen movie.
Yes.
Which they haven't been recognized in a long time.
Well, they gave screenplay to Midnight in Paris, I believe.
Hmm.
But yeah,
see, this
like,
is where we're trying to figure out politically who they'll give the Oscar to.
Yes.
And when we say politically, we're not talking about, like, you know, George Bush or Obama.
Yes.
We're talking about, like, just politics.
Acting politics or academy politics, basically. And this is where, like, yeah, Lifetime Achievement Awards are given out in categories instead of as Lifetime Achievement Awards like they should be. Because, yeah, like, it's basically, like, Cate Blanchett, and then it's, like... Amy Adams could maybe be a spoiler, but I just don't see it happening.
What is Cate Blanchett? She's in Blue Jasmine?
Blue Jasmine, yeah.
Okay, so why will she win an Oscar? Does she play like a prostitute who dies or something?
I don't even know what that movie is about.
Oh, if your character
entirely.
Dies in a movie, that's another great way to get an Oscar. Basically,
yes,
take place in the past, be based off a real person, have some either a drunk, alcoholic, sick, something.
Yep, and then die.
And then
the
die. See, Amadeus.
But yeah, like,
which is why Nicole Kidman not waiting for Moulin Rouge was a shocker because she was a hooker in the past who died.
Yeah.
I mean, it had everything.
And she sang and everything, too. Like, she did her own singing and everything, you know, like, I mean, just like how Renee Zellweger in Chicago, you know, like, you know, it's like, to me, that's like an accomplishment. You know, like, it's like you're doing something more, you know, than just what's
like
normally
Nicole
expected,
Kidman,
I guess.
Nicole Kidman sitting around with a big nose. Oh, she did kill herself in that movie. I remember that. But I only saw it because it was on a plane. It was, like, on the TV.
Yeah.
On the plane. And but then versus Renee Zellweger, who was awesome in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's like, wait. Nicole Kidman portrayed a real character, didn't she? Like, some real author.
Yes, yeah. It was, like, was it Virginia Woolf? Was that?
Was it?
I'm trying to remember who it was.
I wasn't afraid of her.
Maybe you should have been. I just watched that movie the other day again. That's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Who's Your Favorite Virginia Woolf? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I love
Don't
it.
Don't talk about the boy, Martha.
Yeah, and fucking Richard Burton. Talk about somebody who never got recognized. Like, he never won anything. And, like, I watched that movie, and I'm like, Paul Scofield must have been incredible in A Man for All Seasons, because I don't know how the
Did
hell
Did Elizabeth
Burton...
Taylor get something for that movie?
She won, which she deserved
Because she
to.
Was young and she made herself ugly.
Yes.
Because she was like 29 or something in that movie. She was not old.
Yeah, she looks like she's like pushing 50 in it.
Yeah.
But
again, like Charlize Theron, a monster. Like, if you transform how you look...
Yeah, if you're a beautiful woman, you have to transform how you look to win an Oscar.
Yep, or extreme weight gain or loss is another one.
Unless you're Jennifer Lawrence, I guess, then you just somehow get it. But
yeah, although I bet she won't win for a while because she's got like 30 years to win Oscars.
Yeah, I think she's going to have the Meryl Streep effect, like if she keeps going. Because like Meryl Streep, like the big thing with her is like, oh, she always gets nominated. But when she won for Iron Lady... or whatever, that was the first time
where she portrayed a dead person from real life.
But that was the first time she'd won since, like, was it Terms of Endearment? It was, like, back in, like, the early 80s. Like, she won for Kramer versus Kramer, I think, and then she won for, I think it was Terms of Endearment, but that was, like, an 83 or something.
Did The Deer Hunter win Best Picture? Oh, yeah, it
yes,
did.
It did. And that's what allowed Cimino to make Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate is not, you know, it has a lot of problems.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
You might like it, actually. You should check it out. I think it's on Netflix. It's
really?
Very interesting, ambitious feel. It's got Jeff Bridges in it.
Nice. Isn't Walken in it, too?
Walken's in it. Chris Christopherson?
Yes,
right?
He's in that.
That's about it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But that was the... Was that the first real, like, true bomb? Like, box office bomb?
What?
Like... Heaven's Gate.
Oh, well, Cleopatra was probably one of those movies that they thought was a bomb, but probably wasn't that bad, like Waterworld.
Yeah, I mean, it cost a lot of money, but it made a lot of money.
Well, they say, like, Heaven's Gate, like, torpedoed, like, the auteur filmmaker. Like, oh, here, he won an Oscar. Let's let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
There's actually, it's on YouTube. I think it's called, like, The Final Cut. There's actually a documentary about the making of that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that stuff's really interesting. I like watching things.
Yeah,
like
it was something like... well, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, egotism involved. Like, when they had the town of Heaven's Gate, they built it. And Michael Camino's like, oh, the buildings are too close to each other. Like, the street is not wide enough.
Yeah.
And so, like, okay, we'll move one side of it. He's like, no, tear down everything and rebuild it.
Oh, my God.
And like, just shit like that. And then something like the end battle, I guess you haven't seen it, but the end battle was something like 5 hours long in the original cut. The original cut was like 8 hours or something ridiculous like that. It's a beautiful looking movie. I mean, it's well made, but it was... I mean, I can see why it wasn't successful. I mean, it has a ton of problems.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting failure.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's not a Western. It takes place in the West, but it's not a Western.
Hmm.
Dances with Wolves, not a Western.
Yeah.
Roadhouse, Western.
Yeah, yeah.
Bug's Life was a Western. It's like yet another retelling of Magnificent Seven, which of course was based off Seven Samurai.
Yeah. which is a hell of a film.
You ever realize how many times Chinatown has been remade? Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Rango.
There's two animated movies. I still haven't seen Rango.
Rango's pretty good. You should watch it. Did you watch The Lone Ranger?
Yes. I liked that movie a lot. Yeah,
that was pretty entertaining.
I thought it was fun.
Rango was better because it was shorter.
Well, yeah.
Shorter is always better.
See, that was one thing with Lone Ranger, though. Like, the end of that movie, like, the whole thing, that was great. Because it was, like, just awesome, like, filmmaking and, like, just, I don't know, like, the whole thing, the train battle where there's the two trains and they're, like, fighting inside and outside of them and going on top.
With the William Tell overture.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, great. It's like, I've never seen that in a movie before. And it was awesome.
I think that movie just, actually, I don't know why people didn't go to see it. I mean, it...
I think it was just really poorly marketed.
Well, I think they need someone better than, like, Arnie Hammer. It's like, nobody cares.
I mean, the big thing with that movie, like, all the advertising was just, like, from the makers of Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, so it was basically like, oh, if you liked that, you should go to this. And
or, what's the one? Guardians of the Galaxy, from the studio that brought you Iron Man. Yeah. I hate when movie posters say, from the studio that brought you X. It's like,
yeah, it
there's,
means
like,
nothing.
Five studios.
Yeah.
You know, like, Batman and Robin, from the studio that brought you Casablanca.
Yeah.
What is that? Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I hate when they say, like, from the producers of, because that generally doesn't mean shit.
Do you remember
shit,
an entire
either.
Decade, every animated movie was somehow from the producers of Shrek?
Yes.
Like, if you, like, brought bagels to the Shrek 1 team, you got a credit on a future movie. Like, you know, like, what was that movie where it was about carrier pigeons in World War II? That was somehow from the creators of Shrek.
Oh, God, I don't even know.
Yeah, I know. They make so many goddamn animated movies, it's hard to keep track. Oh, God, what do you think the fallout of the Lego movie is going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, that thing's kicking ass. Yeah,
By the fallout, we mean every movie copying it.
So is there going to be a Mega Bloks movie?
Well, yeah, I'd be surprised there weren't two competing Hollywood productions like Mega Bloks versus the Lego movie. Here's a question. When are people going to stop giving Paul W.S. Anderson money?
Well, I don't know. Didn't, like, the Resident Evil movies all make
money? Yeah,
but
Pompeii just took a massive dump.
Oh, he made that.
Oh, yeah. It lost a ton of money. Way to go, Sony.
So what, did they spend like $100 million on that or something?
Oh, yeah. Too? Yeah. Jesus. Why not?
Well, I guess they're like, well, hey, we'll make $300 again.
So expect a Resident Evil, what are they even up to now, 10?
Probably. Green it's light, like Saw any, movies.
Any day now.
I don't know.
What was the other Oscar thing we were going to talk about? Did we cover it all?
There was probably something, but we probably covered most of it. So, because I'm trying to think who the hell's even up for Best Actor this year. I haven't been paying a lot of attention.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I could click on the screen here and we could find out.
Oh, yeah, we have this thing called the Internet, I guess.
Academy Awards. Oscar.
Something's going to happen. That's
I already
Oscar
clicked on
Legacy.
This. Okay.
Just put in, like, you know, 2014 Oscar nominees or some nonsense. See what we get. Let's see.
Oh, Christian Bale was nominated for
American Assault. Oh. Oh, yeah, Bruce Dern's been getting talked about a lot.
Oh,
well, McConaughey is the one that's going to win for Buyer's Club.
Oh, for the movie no one saw.
Yes.
Bruce Dern, isn't he got to be pretty old?
Yeah, there's been talk that, you know, maybe this would be... I guess he's really good in it.
Christopher Plummer for... Beginners.
Yes.
The really old, we should give you an Oscar Before You Die award.
Yeah, and I remember when, what was it, Venus, when O'Toole got nominated for like the 8th time for that, and what was it? It was a few years before that, I think, but somebody was like, oh, you know, they were talking about giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he's like, no, I'm going to win one, you know, the proper way. And then he actually did get nominated for Venus. He didn't win, but yeah, I think he's, like, the most nominated person without winning. I think he got nominated, like, 8 times.
Peter O'Toole?
Yeah, and never won.
What is Dallas Buyers Club?
That's the one where McConaughey's character, I think he plays, like, an actual person, so this helps.
Yep.
And he gets AIDS, and he dies, I'm sure, at the end.
What?
I haven't seen it, but...
I thought it was about some guy goes on Dallas buying things.
Well, it's like, he gets... He's some
so
sort of...
So, real person who dies, AIDS is involved.
AIDS
yeah, he'll
is
probably
involved,
win.
Yeah. And he's like some sort of prick in it, I guess, but then he gets AIDS, and then he isn't happy with the health care or something like that, so he goes to, like, Mexico, I think, to, like, smuggle in medication that actually helps treat the disease.
Does this take place in the present or the past?
It's in, like, the 80s, I think, so it's when AIDS was first kind of coming around and stuff like that. So yeah, it's set in a different time.
And as a commentary on the American healthcare system. Yep, yeah, so. He'll win.
And he's been cleaning up pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I like McConaughey, so I think it'd be cool to see
Why
him
didn't
win,
he
but...
win for Reign of Fire?
He was awesome in that movie, but I don't know. But yeah, Kate Blanchett will definitely win.
Frozen will give the Disney's Back in the Animation Business Award.
Oh, yes. Let's see, what about supporting roles?
Michael Fassbender. Michael Fassbender was in 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah, I think he's like the prick plantation owner in it.
Well, I think Magneto should be given an Oscar.
That would be cool, but I think Jared Leto is going to win it because he's in that same movie, I believe.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, and he plays a transvestite, I believe, in it. So,
transformation Oscar.
Yep. And then, he has like a lot of weight gain in it too, I believe. So, he'll be in for that.
We probably sound jaded, but we'll probably be proven completely correct.
It's basically true.
Yeah. And,
now, best supporting actress is always a bit of a wild card category because they like Marissa Tomei won it that one year.
And Julia Roberts won't get it because she already has an Oscar.
Yeah.
Sally Hawkins could get it because she's getting older, and I assume she doesn't have an Oscar. Jennifer Lawrence won't get it.
Yeah, she won't get it. I bet it's going to be that Lupita Nyong'o. Because they like to award newcomers. That's like a thing they like to do.
And 12 Years a Slave will probably win Best Picture, but not much else. So they'll have to give it something
else. They'll get that, because it's not going to win Director. What's up for screenplay? Like, I'm sure...
Screenplay will probably go to American Hustle.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Because they got to give O. Russell, something one of these years.
David O. Russell?
Yeah. I'm sure that's up for, like... I think Woody Allen's probably nominated for Blue Jasmine, too.
For director?
No, for, like, screenplay, I would imagine. But since he just won it for...
Doesn't he have enough Oscars?
Midnight in Paris, he probably won't win.
Oh, that's right. The Great Gatsby was a movie.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. I wasn't very impressed.
I wish my computer had the voice of Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. That movie was actually really good.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't win anything, but...
Yeah, it's like...
Didn't Joaquin Phoenix get nominated for it?
He should have if he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He's great in that movie. Yeah. Where the hell are the screenplay things? I don't even see them on there. Are they at the bottom?
They don't use screenplays anymore in Hollywood.
That's true. It is at the bottom. So, yeah, let's see.
They won't give it to Dallas Buyers Club because that will win at least one Oscar.
Categories, yeah. I bet American Hustle will get it because
American Hustle will probably get boned on a lot of categories. It's nominated for a lot, but it probably won't win a lot.
Yeah.
So they'll give it Best Original Screenplay because Woody Allen probably already won that in the past.
Yeah, because he got it for Midnight.
Yeah, this is pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah, and then adapted screenplay. Let's see, what do we have there? That one's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah. Oh, Before Midnight was nominated?
Oh, yeah, it's Linklater. Yeah.
They might give that series a Lifetime Achievement Award.
They might do that.
Although, you know, they're going to crank one out that were there in the rest home, you know?
Yep, give it another.
It'll be called Before Dentures.
Because what is that? They make one every 10 years, is it? Basically.
So they've made three of those.
Yeah. I could see that happening, because that one's kind of a toss-up category with what's in there. I mean, that's one of the few categories Wolf of Wall Street got nominated in, other than Pitcher.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio was nominated, but he won't win.
Oh, that's right, and Jonah Hill got nominated, too, so never mind.
Meryl Streep, once again, nominated.
Yeah, she just...
Sandra Bullock, there's no way in hell she'll get an Oscar for Gravity.
No.
He's like, here's your... Okay, action. Give me my statue.
Well, I don't know. It worked for Jennifer Connelly.
Well, there was no mirrors for her to break in space. True. In space, there are no mirrors.
She just had to break a spaceship.
I think the debris did that. She gets back to Earth and she gets billed for the spaceship.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Be like, send me back up there.
Screw this.
But yeah, we'll see. Like, cinematography, that should... Probably should be Gravity. We'll see what happens.
I'm sure Gravity, any sort of technical award, Gravity will win.
Yeah, they were saying, like, you know, Gravity, like, they were talking about, you know, movies sweeping the awards and stuff, and they were like, well, if somehow Gravity won Best Picture, like, it could potentially sweep everything it's nominated in, because it's... Well, except it won't win Best Actress, but
no.
But like it would sweep.
Plus,
all the technical
she got an award just a few years ago for that, The Blind Side, right?
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it'll win like every technical award, and then it'll win Best Director.
It'll definitely win Best Director,
which will be cool.
It should.
Cool to see Cuarón win.
Why are there? There's not 10 Best Pictures this year. Like, what is it? 9?
I think it's 9. Like, they've had 9 the last couple of years. That whole
so
thing's
stupid
just stupid.
Because no
too.
Other category has that many.
Yeah, it's just dumb. It's like, oh, it was all because of the year when The Dark Knight didn't get nominated for Best Picture.
Again,
that
it's
was
politically
when they
based.
Changed that whole thing. Because that was the year where it was like Dark Knight and WALL-E probably should have been up for Best Picture. But of course, WALL-E, they've got the stupid animated category. So an animated movie will probably never get nominated.
That's like
again.
Saying an animated movie isn't a movie.
Yeah, I mean, that category pisses me off.
Was it Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah, and that was the last time it happened, I think.
And the only time it ever happened.
Yeah. But yeah, it was after that year, though, was when they changed the thing where it's like, well, now we can have up to 10. And I can't, they have some funky criteria
well, like,
for
look,
determining.
Well, if we have 10, so Captain Phillips won't win.
No.
Gravity won't win. Her won't win. Nebraska won't win. Philomena? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Wolf of Wall Street won't win. Really, the only ones that have a chance are American Hustle, Gravity, and 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
It's like, why do they even nominate all those movies? It's pointless. It's like when they take someone to the firing squad and like one person has a blank or whatever, so you don't know who actually killed the person.
Yeah.
It's like, why do they nominate these movies that have no chance?
And like this year, you know, the populist movie or whatever would have gotten in still. Like, I'm sure if it was only 5 nominees, Gravity still would have been nominated.
Definitely.
You know, so
it would have been like Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, and Dallas Buyers Club. Captain Phillips. Was that, well, Captain Phillips was nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah.
Oh.
It made quite a bit of money, too.
That's what really matters.
Yep. Or does it?
Isn't Bruce Dern Laura Dern's dad?
I believe that is a true statement, yes. Oh, yeah. So Bravo, Stern.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think Amy Adams deserves to win Best Actress? I didn't see Blue Jasmine.
I mean, out of those people, I've only seen 2 of the performances because I saw her and then I saw Sandra Bullock. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I thought she had the most subtle performance in that movie.
Speaking of Amy Adams, Best Costume Design, American Hustle.
Yes, that should win. Yeah, just for Amy Adams' wardrobe alone, nothing else should have even been nominated.
They went green. They saved lots of material.
Yes, they did, and God bless them.
Yep.
That was all I thought after seeing that movie. I was like, God bless whoever the costume designer for American Hustle was, because they did a hell of a job. But yeah, I'd like to see Amy Adams win, but I mean, I've seen her better in other things. Of course, as we've talked about earlier in the podcast, that's not always, you know, important to winning an award.
I think Jennifer Lee is also the first female director of an animated film. I may be mistaken on this, but
nice.
So I'm sure Frozen, it also made a ton of money, so.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing with Blanchett, too, is, I mean, it's been a long time since she won.
What did she win for?
Or did she win? Or wait, no, didn't she win Best Supporting Actress for Aviator?
Yeah, because she portrayed a dead celebrity.
Yeah.
Who was it? Hepburn.
Or Hepburn, yep. That's right. And that was was that 10 years ago?
2003, I want to say.
Oh, that was the year Million Dollar Baby came out. So that's the movie people claim Million Dollar Baby robbed. It's like, sorry.
Aviator?
Million Dollar Baby's way better
come
than
on. Aviator. Aviator was just about a bunch of rich people drawing things. It was kind of...
And it was way too long.
Masturbation-y, I guess you could say. Like, ooh, let's dress up. Let's turn Kate Blanchett into Audrey Hepburn. That'll be really cool. Let's turn Kate Beckinsale into Eva Gardner. That'd be really cool. It was like a Halloween show, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a Hollywood dress-up.
That's a good way of putting it. But yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, I would expect it's going to be
Look
Kate
at me.
Blanchett.
I've seen a Katharine Hepburn movie, and I can talk like her. Give me my award.
Here you go.
Hey, it works every time.
Yeah, see, there's no... Nobody's really based... I mean, Amy Adams, I guess, is sort of based on a real person, because isn't American Hustle kind of loosely based on real events?
Of.
But yeah, it's not, you know, whole hog. So yeah, like, nobody in that category is impersonating, like, a, you know, celebrity or, you know, some real person, so...
Amy Adams was in Superman, or I'm sorry, Man of Steel.
Yes, she was.
Well, I've got to think of, like, a reason why they'd give it to her instead of Cate Blanchett. First because ginger, she's Amy first ginger best picture actress winner.
For looking just stupidly hot for an entire movie.
She was in The Office, you know, so...
She should get best actress for somehow keeping her tits in the dress, in the dresses that she was wearing.
Well, maybe that would go to costume design.
Because she... I watched an interview with her. I think it was with... I can't remember. Some stupid, whatever, late show person. But
you were Googling Amy Adams boobs.
Of course, who wouldn't? But she's awesome. So, but she was interviewed about that, and they asked her, like, you know, how did you do that? You know, did they tape you up and stuff like that? And she's like, no, actually, I didn't wear any tape in that whole movie. So she was saying there's scenes where you'll see, like, kind of how she's sitting and things. And she's like, I'm doing, like, everything I can to not have them pop out, basically. And so yeah, but... So apparently David O. Russell's, you know, like... George Lucas in Star Wars or something where it's like, you know, there's no underwear in space.
I don't think there were any bras in
the 70s.
No
underwear in American Hustle. Yeah, there's a bra
shortage.
You ever
see a photo of the 70s? It's like,
that's true, yeah. God bless the 70s.
Yeah. I would say those were good times, but I don't remember them because I was a baby.
Yeah. The 80s were good times, though.
That's when they made cool movies like Gremlins and...
Back to the Future and Commando.
It's like I've got a great idea for a movie. This kid, there's a time machine. He goes back in time and he keeps his parents from meeting, and then he has to make them meet. I don't know. Is there any superheroes in it? Is that based off a comic book? Back to the Future. That title doesn't make any sense. Let's call it Back.
Back in Time.
Back to the Future. The Chronicles of Marty McFly. Because you always got to have a colon something.
They'd be like, I don't know if we can spend $200 million on that. I don't think it's a good idea. We should go make Battleship now.
Starring nobody. Oh, wait, no.
Rihanna
was in it. Liam Neeson was in it.
Oh, God.
And he didn't say, sink my Battleship.
Yeah, that would, yeah. I mean, I haven't watched that movie, but when I heard he doesn't say
somehow,
that in it.
They should have gotten, somehow they should have, if they can have aliens walking around, have the alien, for whatever reason, call Liam Neeson. They'd be like, if you leave Hawaii, that'll be the end of it. But if you don't, I will find you, and I will kill you. The alien would be like, blah, 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 which is good luck, an alien. And then you'd be like, you sunk my battleship. And then he like shoots a big rocket and blows up the alien.
Who wouldn't go and see that movie?
Well, they kind of had the line, because I was morbidly curious about that movie, so I watched it.
Of course you did.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
It's a movie. So at the end, what is it? It doesn't make any goddamn sense, of course.
Yeah, they just got to the point where they're like obligated to say the line.
Well, they didn't even say it.
Or paraphrase it.
Basically, it's what's his face, the guy who will never be in another movie again, who is in John Carter. He gets to shore. And he's like, we've got to blow up the aliens. And there's like, there's no battleships left. He's like, there's one left. And they go to the USS Missouri Museum.
Yeah.
And then this is the part that made no goddamn sense. Because they're like, oh, it's the USS Missouri. We used it in World War II. So we have to get a bunch of 80-year-old World War II vets in order to use it, in order to run it. That ship was used in the first Gulf War. It was used 20 years ago. It's like there are people our age, possibly even, that know how that ship works.
Yeah.
But no, they had to get a bunch of like old decrepit guys. And then anyway, there's a part where the old decrepit guy, like he's like loading like, you know, a 300-pound shell somehow. And he's like, they're not going to sink this battleship.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lame.
Actually, that part was kind of cool because they're like, they've got the ship and then they drop the anchor to do this turn. Yeah. And then the alien's like, and then they shoot him and blow him up or something.
See, they should have said, suck on this.
I mean, if you've ever wanted to see Rihanna use a chain gun, I mean, that is a movie for you.
That was my whole thing with that movie, though. I'm like, if Liam Neeson says that line to an alien in it, it completely justifies the existence of that movie.
Or another way you could do is like, maybe like, we captured an alien, sir. And then it was like, blah, 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 right? You know, they've got it like chained up. And Liam Neeson walks up to it, gets right in his face and is like, you sunk my battleship. And he murders it.
See, that was the thing with that movie. It's like, if you are going to make that movie, you have to make it stupid.
It wasn't quite stupid enough.
Like, you'd have to have it where, like you said, it was completely stupid, but it was hilarious that, like, the alien calls Liam Neeson and says something to him, and Liam Neeson can understand him.
You see,
it would be great!
People complain about things like Jeff Goldblum using his MacBook to give an alien mothership a virus, but it's, like, just stupid enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you have to go this... He had to go right past ridiculous and into stupid. And then it works. Yep. He comes back around the horn and works again.
Yeah, you just have to be blatant about the stupidity. It's like, okay, we know we're not fooling anybody here. And then it's okay. You know?
Like, why didn't they make that a comedy? Like, picture an alien, you're like, beep, beep. Like, picture, like, a big,
and then blue big armored alien.
They basically look like Halo creatures.
Oh, yeah.
No, the alien picks up a phone, and he's like, beep, boop, has a number, and then Liam Neeson's like, it's for you, sir. What? And then
First he'd have to get into, like, some menu system, you know?
It seems like we've had this discussion Neeson should say this in the Battleship many times.
We probably have on one of the old podcasts, even. I don't know.
It's been going on that long that we'd still bring it up.
It means that much to us.
Yeah, did we do a 2012 podcast or not? I think that was a year we forgot.
We skipped a Christmas somewhere, so yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, whatever. It's Liam Neeson.
Four Christmases, your favorite movie.
Yes.
Whatever happened to whoever that woman was in that movie?
Was that the one with Ben Affleck?
No. What was the Sweet Home Alabama woman?
Oh, Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
Yeah, she has kind of disappeared.
Yeah, what happened to her?
I guess it was a good thing they gave her that Oscar for Walk the Line, because
for portraying a dead person.
Yep. Because she might not get another chance.
Wait, is Carter Cash dead?
I don't know if she was at the time. She might be now.
She portrayed a person, like a real-life celebrity, so.
But then Joaquin Phoenix didn't win for playing Johnny Cash, because I guess they couldn't award them both, but.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's not foolproof, but it's, you know, if you want to up your percentages of winning, these are good ways to do it, you know.
Yes, play a real person from the past. Preferably one that has existed in the last 100 years so you can get audio of them and impersonate them correctly. Then contract some sort of disease and then die. You have to die at the end.
Yes, it's important. Yeah, you have to have some sort of, like, trauma or adversity, you know.
Yep.
So.
Did you watch Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
Yeah, I didn't think it was very good.
But Jenna Fisher was in it.
Yes, she was, and she was very hot in it, but... that was about all it had going for it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I watched that and I was like, this really isn't that funny. There were some moments.
I like the line where it's like, it's not that I don't believe in you, it's just that I know you're going to fail. I found that funny.
The thing I thought was the funniest about that movie was like the... I can't even remember it exactly, but it's like the dude who keeps showing back up, like from... rehab or something with the drugs. It's like every decade, like, this dude comes back. He was, like, in the band or somehow affiliated with him. And then they're like, I can't even remember what it is. It was like Tim Meadows or somebody played the guy. But that was the funniest bit for me, was like he kept showing up and then they'd, like, reject him in some way. It was something like with drugs in the 70s and then, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I can't remember what the hell it was, but... I remember that making me laugh, but otherwise it was pretty much devoid of laughter, so.
I think it was also devoid of an audience, too, so.
Yeah, that
okay.
too.
Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Yes.
But now everyone knows how to win an Oscar.
But I'm going to pick Gravity for Best Picture. Fuck them all. I'm going to pull for it and hope for a miracle, because that's just how I roll, so.
I vote for Roadhouse. Best Picture, 1989.
Well, they'll remake it soon enough, and it'll have its chance.
Oh. How would you?
Because aren't they remaking it?
Oh, I'm sure they want to.
I thought
to.
I saw How something.
How would you even do that?
There's certain movies, yeah, that they're just of a time, and,
like Weird Science,
yeah.
Which I think they want to remake. It's like, there's absolutely no way to remake that movie. It's a completely stupid 80s movie. I mean, if you watch it, that's like the most 80s movie it's, ever made.
Yeah, it is like the. Yeah, the one that all others were cast from.
If you tried to do like a parody of an 80s movie, you wouldn't even come close to what Weird Science was.
Yeah, it's a good time. And it's got Paxton in it, so...
Well, yeah.
You know, has a pile of shit at one point, so...
Hi, dudes!
How about a greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
Oh, we brought up Weird Science a lot in this podcast.
It is a hell of a film.
Weren't there, like, some Road Warrior bikers in it or something?
Yep. Yeah, they actually had the guy from Road Warrior, like the main crazy dude with the assless chaps or whatever the hell he wore in that movie. They actually had him in Weird Science
when
as the Road Warrior.
Road
guy.
Warrior Fury Road or whatever it's called ever going to come out? The movie's been delayed like a billion times.
Yeah, because doesn't that have like Tom Hardy and Charlize in it?
Yeah, they filmed it. I think it got pushed back to like spring 2015.
Is Miller directing it?
Yeah, George Miller. Yeah.
No more happy feet for him. I mean, just the cast and, you know, whatever. It's a movie that doesn't need to exist, but I'm kind of intrigued.
So is it a sequel or a reboot or what is it?
I don't really know.
Because Tom Hardy, I assume, plays Mad...
Maybe he's probably going to be Mel's son or some shit.
Here's something I miss. Remember when they used to make movies with different actors and they didn't care? They didn't have to reboot it. It's like, oh, look, James Bond is now a different actor. He's still James Bond. Mm-hmm. It's like people apparently could figure it out.
Yeah, they did it with Jack Ryan back in the day.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Stuff, you know, like Alec Baldwin, and then it went to Harrison Ford. And
then Chris
Ben
Pine,
Affleck.
Apparently.
Even well, Ben Affleck, and then Pine.
Yeah, but nowadays it's like, oh, well, the classic example is Spider-Man. It's like, oh, these people are too expensive. Let's find cheaper people.
Yeah. And then completely reboot it.
Yeah. It's like, my God, just continue the story.
Yeah. It's not that hard. Like Batman, they did that. You know, they would change Bruce Wayne. You know, it was Keaton, and then it was Kilmer, and then
it
was Clooney.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what they do with Man of Steel 2.
Yeah.
You know, so like, because he must be a different Batman. Like, Alfred is Jeremy Irons.
I gotta think it's gonna be completely... you know, disconnected from the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder how they're going to handle it.
Yeah.
But...
I guess we'll find out.
I just think it's... I don't know. I think the biggest problem with that movie is that it's a Man of Steel sequel.
Well, they're putting a lot of shit into it. I mean, it's like, you know...
It's going to fall over.
Because it's like, you know... They had a successful Superman movie, but it's like, oh, now for the next one, we got to put Batman and Wonder Woman in it.
Yep.
And then I don't know how many freaking villains they're going to shoehorn
into they haven't
into
even
it.
Talked about Lex Luthor. Oh, yeah, who is Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
So we know it's going to be some goddamn Superman versus computers movie again.
Yeah.
So they're basically, well, if you think about it, Man of Steel was basically a remake of Superman 2. This will be a remake of Superman 3.
Yeah.
Just like the next Star Trek will be a remake of Star Trek 4. Guaranteed. Oh, God. I don't think any movies deserve to win Oscars because they all suck.
Hey, Gravity was a new thing.
That's true.
I hadn't seen that before.
It's like on paper, like, that's the kind of movie they would have made in the 80s, but they wouldn't make now. But guess what? It's like, if you make an original concept with an interesting theme that's well done, people will go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
It's amazing how that works.
All right, well, we should let you go, but we promised that in our next podcast we might actually talk about video games.
Yeah.
There's just no games coming out this time of year.
Yeah, the PS4 is definitely devoid of new games.
So I keep reading about how well that's selling, but what games are on it? Why are people buying it?
I don't know. Because the two best games for it, in my opinion, are like Assassin's Creed 4 and Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which you could play both those games on a PS3. So, yeah, I don't really know... why? I mean, I certainly like how fast the interface is and navigation, and you know everything's way, way better than the PS3 that way, but that's not exactly the best reason to buy a $400 system.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people are playing Battlefield or something.
I suppose that's the thing, yeah, if you kind of, you know, like us, we PC game quite a bit too, and so if you're not a PC gamer, then yeah, I suppose on the console, yeah, being able to play Battlefield 4 would be pretty awesome, because I've seen it on the PS4, and I mean, it, you know, it looks pretty damn near like what a, you know, decent PC is going to look like running that game.
Yeah, what these video card prices are doing nowadays, you might as well buy a console. Like, my video card I don't know if you knew this, but like AMD cards are going for the roof because the Bitcoin miners and the Dogecoin miners are hoarding them.
Really?
Yeah, my like the video card, I got a R9 280.
Like, which is kind of like my card, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like one of the better cards. And so basically, but it's that's like a $300 card, but it cost me $420, and now it's like $540.
Wow.
It's like, and for some reason, the AMD cards are better for Bitcoin mining or Dogecoin. So, yeah, it's kind of ironic because, like, you know, AMD tries to be a less expensive brand, and but the basically the scarcity of them and the resellers jacking up the price is making them more expensive.
Huh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous what's going on with that right now.
Yeah, that's crazy because, yeah, like when I bought, because I've got the 7970, mm-hmm. and when I bought that, it cost me, it was like $410 or something. And I bought that, what, like a year ago maybe or something? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I bought it when like BioShock Infinite came out because it came with a BioShock Infinite code, which was part of how I justified buying it since I was going to spend $60 on that anyways. But yeah, so that's kind of nuts. I bought that card like a year ago for over $100 less than what it's selling for now, basically.
Thanks, Bitcoin. All right, well, we will catch you next month on the BenHeck.com podcast.
Adios.
And you can be like, wow, they predicted the Oscars really well.
It's almost like they've, you know, watched movies in this show forever.
It's also almost like history repeats itself. All right, we'll see you then.
Adios.